This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So we're like on the floor of the cyborg factory, and it's like me. We're doing like, they're not being designed explicitly for sex, but we want to make sure people can have sex with them,
right?
Like, just like, because
if you don't design for that, that's how people get hurt.
Exactly. No, that's, and that, and this is what I'm arguing. But it was me, it was Scott Stuber, and it was Scooby Don't, who is like this sort of character. He's like an evil version of Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
And he does everything that you don't do. So it's anything that you would like not want him to do, he's going to do. So
Like, what's an example of that? And also, well, that implies to me that Scooby-Doo does everything.
Yeah.
Correctly, everything that you're supposed to do.
Do you have notes on Scooby-Doo? Do you have something about behavior that you don't like?
No, I just don't think of him as like a behavioral guy.
Well, this is a bigger issue then if there's something about Scooby-Doo that you feel like needs improvement, because I'll take that to the team
It's not really for me about that at all. It's just that I didn't think of him along those lines one way or the other as like as a prescriptive character in such a way that would, that his opposite would be someone who is antithetical to what I am supposed to be. I didn't know. This is what I'm saying. I'm watching the show. I'm sitting there enjoying it. I didn't know that I was supposed to be doing that.
Well,
but you're saying that I was.
You're not. You don't need to do it because Scooby do it. You know what I mean?
Get it.
Like,
so
you
he's
don't.
Doing
you
it
actually don't
for
need to do
me.
It. Like, if you're watching, Bob Vila saw a piece of wood. You don't need to go then saw that wood
because like,
you don't,
he, like that's he not did something. It for me.
The wood sawed.
Okay.
If Mike Rowe is, you know, sucking shit out of a fucking hole, like, you don't got to go down there and, like, suck out of the shithole. Like, Mike's finished with that.
Yeah.
So, like, when Scooby is finished correctly doing whatever his task is,
that's off my plate now.
Yeah. So that you can just sit and enjoy the show. But if Scooby don't shows up,
now
you actually now you have a responsibility, which is go get in his way and stop him from reshaping the cyborg hole so that it takes like a sharp turn or something.
So that's really dangerous. There is a hole in there, but very suddenly it turns just like at a right angle.
And it traps you.
Wow.
And what it does is it traps you. If you were to use, I've never used one of these things because like I don't have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cyborgs are actually really expensive.
Because you don't have to, because you are you own the factory.
I own the factory, yeah, but I also have never used them in this way. I'm just allowing for people to use them. But what I'm told by some of my buddies is you can get stuck pretty bad because of what Scooby did to them.
Uh-huh.
And so that's just an example of where now if you were watching Scooby-Don't, you would have a responsibility like I had to step in and say, hey, you know, put down the, what was he using? A tool.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook and Insider's Guide to kicking butt and dropping names and the red
mostly
carpet line.
Kicking butt, but mostly dropping names.
Back hallways of this industry we call showbiz, and that is the word of today.
What up, showbiz. What up?
Movies on TV, movies at the movie theater, movies on the computer. We're talking about this, okay? We've talked about so many different movies.
Boom. So if I were to sit here and list all the movies we've talked about, it would take an hour.
And this is essentially what our guests do every day is talk about, is list movies one at a time and say, okay, and here's what this movie is about.
Yeah.
Talk to me about why this is happening.
What are you doing?
And this is our friend.
Yes.
And his friend.
Well, they're two of us.
Friends.
We should clarify.
Said both of you.
Okay, but we should clarify the billing
there. If you actually
listen
to me, I actually did identify you both. And let me try it again so you can hear if you maybe want to clean out your ears for this round.
You've got two ears and one mouth. Simple math.
This is our friend and his friend. And talk about this.
Did you get it that time?
Well, I got part of it. I guess my question is still...
Which part?
Well, the billing. Which one of us is getting our friend and which one of us is getting his friend?
Well, which of you has been on the show before?
Well, it's changing, actually, based on your behavior.
Okay.
If you would have asked me this question before the episode, I would have probably said, Griffin is our friend and David is his friend. But because you're being so intentionally dense and sabotaging the show... In this disgusting competition that you've created immediately upon getting on mic, actually now David is my friend because he has been patiently, quietly sitting and listening, using his two ears to listen instead of just his one mouth to talk, 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 talk.
Podcasting is about being not obtuse. And that's the first thing I tell anyone who wants to start a new podcast. I'm like, well, you can't be obtuse because then
you cannot be obtuse.
Mm-hmm. Don't be obtuse. Dog.
No, there's no room for it. That's right. It's exactly.
There's no room for this.
I will admit,
morbidly obtuse.
I apologize if I came in both obtuse and too hot, but you have to understand.
You were screaming, Griffin.
I know. I was on a tear. Okay, I will admit. I was raging out. But
Kevin, I saw Kevin looking at the levels.
And
he was having a fucking heart attack.
I was going down, down.
I
can't even use this audio.
If I have to re-record my lines, I'm happy to do it. I understand that I was hitting red real fast. But
you're a VO legend, Griff. I mean, you know how to do that.
I can do pickups. I could do them in my sleep. But you have to understand, because you guys are asking what it's like to talk about movies. This is part of it.
I did not, again.
What?
Maybe get back in those ears.
Okay.
With your cleaning supplies, with a towel, with some soap.
Get a fucking beach towel and run that shit through your ears. I think you're going to have room, based on some of the choices I've seen you make so far, to run it straight from one ear to the other.
I don't think
there's going to be much blocking it.
What it's like. I know what it's like. Okay. I'm doing it every damn day.
Uh-huh.
What I asked was why you do it like that.
Oh, okay.
Where you say, here's one movie.
Yeah.
The show's called Blank Check. Nobody knows why. Has nothing to do with anything.
You never
except
explain
it's one movie. Who cares?
It's never... Has it ever been about the movie Blank Check?
One time.
It was
exactly
one time.
Oh,
my
God. We did
it
one time because people asked us that question too often.
Right. So that was...
Well, that makes it more confusing. You can't just indulge anytime they come in. God, if we did that on this show, everyone comes in and says, like, why don't you do this? First of all, we'd be kissing every single episode, each other.
Secondly, based on what we are most frequently asked, we would have stopped doing the show.
You so can't
be,
do
it'd
this.
It'd be dead air.
Yes. And so don't do that, what you did.
Okay. I apologize.
And explain to me. Actually, I don't care. I was just saying. I wasn't asking for an explanation.
I don't give a fuck anymore.
This is why
man.
It's called this. The show's called Blank Check. It is on Patreon channel.
Yeah. Yes.
We have a Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah. We're similar. We're similar to you guys. We left the big networks, and we're independent and on Patreon.
You're carving your own
path. We
have
an indie spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. We have an indie spirit. Mm-hmm. Not an indie spirit, but we have the spirit within us.
Like that show, that's how you do it, where you're like, everyone is getting up there being funny. they're tent. Like, sorry, they the do tent. The show in a tent
on the beach.
They do it they in do. A tent.
Tent on the beach. You got Saturday afternoon energy, you know?
You've been?
No. I've watched.
Okay. And so you talk about the movie, one movie every single time, right? And you say, this is what the, talk about that. What's this show?
David, I think maybe you should run quarterback on this because I'm really flopping every time I speak here.
I know. It's,
and Griffin is being like, yo, here's a, like, here's a way for David to really get it. Saying what the show is about.
Explain the show David's in a sentence hand. Or
I think
two.
David, yeah. I think David could handle this one for sure. Once it gets a little stickier, I'll jump back in.
I won't it's be not accused like Griffin doesn't, ever of not letting David speak.
He's fine.
Every single week, Griffin literally introduces the show because a podcast honcho once told us we had to do that. That's why we do that. But the premise of the show...
Who's the honcho?
Yeah.
Ackerman?
I can't name names. I also forgot his name. But he had big honcho energy, right, Griffin?
Wow, this guy is so intent on not sharing this information that he straight up obliterated part of his brain that knew the name.
I'll say this. He's a honcho who probably gave you guys similar notes at one yes, point in time. If I would imagine that's true. In time. I will say that.
Okay.
It's a honcho of your past. But he gave us 30 minutes of
Chris
constructive
Bannon,
criticism.
And then, it is Mr. Christopher Bannon.
And then explained why he wasn't acquiring our show.
Right. And we came away from that with, we need a motto. We need a one sentence summary.
Okay, what is this?
Let me see if I get this right. Anytime I do it, I usually get something wrong.
Wow, Griffin was right.
Wait, it's a show about... Go ahead, please.
And here I am like, thinking that like this was like him giving David a chance to do like the easy thing. But,
it seemed
like,
really condescending really the way Griffin struggling. Was treating David. And now definitely I actually not. Think that he was giving him too much room to run.
Yeah, Griffin's put me behind the controls of something that I am very uncomfortable piloting.
Wow.
It's a show about directors, film directors, who get like a blank check from Hollywood, right? They have a success that Hollywood lets them make whatever kind of crazy movie they might want to make. And we go through their whole filmography charting the
Would you say
the
that it's directors
checks.
Who have some success early in their career and as a result
often,
that Hollywood
often,
decides to give them a blank check to make whatever they want and right. sometimes the checks cash and sometimes those checks bounce.
That's exactly what it is.
Would you say that, please?
Yeah, it's about no, I already forgot. Come on, Griffin, help me out
wow,
here.
Wow, this guy belted another part of his brain before
this
my
dude
eyes.
Is a, this dude has the freaking Men in Black freaking neuralizer or some shit.
There's something about the way Griffin rattles that off that I am actually, he makes it seem very easy, and but I think it's more that I have abdicated it. I just don't want to know the motto of our show.
It's a podcast about filmographies, directors who have had massive success early on in their careers to give a series of blank checks and make whatever crazy passion projects they want, and sometimes those checks clear and sometimes they bounce, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I said cash. But you know what? That's so stupid. Why do you do that?
Because we took the advice of a guy who rejected our podcast.
Yeah, this guy who heard us out for half an hour and was like, wait, this show's like 2 hours long? What? What are you guys talking about?
We should also clarify, he had not listened to an episode.
No.
He took the meeting with us because other people had told him our show was good, then asked us to explain what we do on our show, and then noted us based on our explanation of our format.
Which, to be fair, was probably bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing I'll tell. We probably did not explain the show very well.
We're not good. We're not good at what we do. No.
Well, let's do something else.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's figure out another... Like, it's one movie for the entire time. It's longer than the actual movie sometimes.
Most of the time, I've never even heard of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like something crazy. And the way you guys talk about it, I'm like, what is going on?
But I look at you guys with jealousy because I feel like you've rethought your format.
Don't look at me.
A lot. Okay, I'm sorry. I think of you guys with envy because you've reconceptualized your format a lot and we feel very stuck. I think this is this is a tough conversation, but it's perhaps a really big opportunity to sort of like scrap everything and start over.
Are you talking about, because you're such a big movie guy, are you talking about the movie Envy, where Ben Stiller's jealous of Jack Black because he invents a spray that makes dog poop disappear?
It's called Vaporize. That's a movie.
That movie was directed by Sam Levinson's dad. Did you guys know that?
Yes. Yeah. Did you know that Sam Levinson has a dad?
I know. I just found this out.
Yeah.
He's got a dad. He just started having a dad.
And so this is an example. Cool.
Yeah.
We just talk about a movie and now we're done.
Sure.
That's great. We're done. Moving on.
Envy will never come up again unless you try to shoehorn it in again.
Christopher Walken plays a character named J-Man. I could keep going.
Right.
Obviously.
They hit him with a car, right?
I'll tell you. I know Ben Stiller was nominated for Worst Actor at the Razzies for that film and lost to George W. Bush for Fahrenheit 9/11.
George W. Bush is, among other awards, a Razzie winner for Worst Actor.
Yes. For Fahrenheit 9/11,
a
movie
film.
He did not consent to be in, I assume, but, you know, there you go.
That's how bad he was at it.
Right.
Damn, dude.
He didn't even agree to be in this movie.
He beat out Affleck, Vin Diesel, Colin Farrell, Ben Stiller. That's four big names to win
Worst
Actor.
But it makes sense because those are all like actors.
What was the Affleck movie? Was it Geely or something?
Affleck was nominated for Jersey Girl and Surviving Christmas.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
But we're done.
They nominated for like five movies. Anyway, all right. I'm sorry. Well, on your show. It's rude.
This is a whole new way of thinking of like maybe we should be trying to get as many movies into each episode as possible.
And this is what we're going to do now.
Okay, bitch. Now, hang on. Slow your roll because actually we're hosting this one.
Sorry.
Now, here's the idea. Let's get way more movies in. You know what I mean? Like, let's start wedging some more movies in. And you guys take the whole damn time to do the one movie. And it's like, no wonder you have so many damn episodes. This thing's driving me nuts looking at this. I get a headache.
Right. So, less episodes, shorter runtime, more movies.
You think like we could probably do all of Hollywood in like a week, just cram it all in there
and just get it over with and just be get out of here.
Yeah,
let's go home. So let's do like, what's like, you guys, you talk about Steven Spielberg.
Sure.
You did all there. Did you do the whole thing?
We did. He had so many movies we split it in half, so we only did the second half of his career, everything. Starting with Lost World, Jurassic Park. Someday we will do the rest. So we could go through the whole first half of his career now.
Right,
we could
just
get
it done.
Yeah.
You never do it.
And yeah, that's perfect.
Now you don't even have to worry about it because we're actually helping you.
Yeah, thank you.
How many movies has he made total? Kevin, are you going to like actually help?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He's made 50, he's directed 57.
57 movies. Great. Easy. We do them all.
Okay.
This is the IMDb version. This is not gonna like.
Yeah, this probably
it's gonna be beyond features. It's gonna be like freaking little like short segments that he did.
Dumb
for
shit. Honestly, it's so easy
for the little shorts and stuff.
Just even shorter. I think
like
for
my
some of the movies.
Outfit.
Shut up. I think for some of the movies, we'll have you do like one sentence about it.
Okay. Kevin wore for the entire summer.
One shorts.
And well. For some of the shorts, let's just do one word.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. It's like the treadmill for us.
But go to his Wikipedia page. We can't be doing every single one of these.
No, that's not going to have it.
Yes, it will. His filmography page will have it.
It won't.
You don't think it will?
It won't.
I mean, I frankly would like to do the shorts because, I mean, we usually wouldn't have the time to devote entire episodes.
Brother, just do
this
the damn
format.
Shorts, man. Okay,
yeah, let's do the shorts. Can you go,
we'll
Kevin, go back.
Short films right here.
Well, but it's organized.
But go
poorly.
Back to the other one.
Yeah, you had it perfect. You got it right the first time.
This is stupid. You're all being so stupid. I hate what you're doing.
All right, boys, okay. Take it away.
The Last Gun.
Yeah, bang, bang. I don't know this one.
Bang, bang. Yes, yeah. I was thinking bang, the bang. Same. I was thinking the same pick.
Yeah.
Comedy Bang Bang.
Okay, Fighter Squad.
Drama, short Bang Bang.
Punch Punch. Mm.
Okay. Fighter Squad.
Fighter yeah. Squad.
Punch Punch. Escape to Nowhere. Let me out of here.
Get out of here.
I don't know where
that's
to go
a,
now.
It's a short. That's a little long for a short.
Yeah, we okay. went a little long in that one. I'm sorry.
What I would say with Escape to Nowhere is I'd go, huh?
Can't fuck? Escape to Nowhere.
That's not... Okay.
No,
I'd go,
yeah,
that's no. not a thing.
No.
Okay. Firelight.
Okay, a little more room here because this is a full feature film.
Yeah.
So Firelight.
We can kind of dig into this one. Yeah.
Here we
absolutely.
Can do yeah. Do a little more work. So Firelight.
Hot, Burn You, Dangerous.
Bright.
Mm-hmm.
Bright.
Bright.
Pretty.
But that's a different movie.
I'd be remiss if I didn't plug Cowboy TV in here, you know. Firelight? That makes me think I want my Cowboy TV.
Is our t-shirt going to be on sale by the time this happens, Kevin?
Yep, available now.
Oof, boy. I
Wow.
Boy, I'd love to be wearing that when I hear this. Ooh, baby.
This one says Slipstream, but then in parentheses it says unfinished. So
okay.
we shouldn't even really finish our thought on... Or should, we should finish it, or we should
wrap
offer
it up?
An unfinished thought.
Well, what I would say is Slipstream, obviously everybody immediately thinks of the... Van Morrison lyric,
sure,
from Astral Weeks,
right?
And
or
so
the Hopkins.
I think what you should just start singing that line and then kind of trail off like you don't know the rest of it.
Okay. Now you're saying start singing that line and then trail off like you don't know the rest of it.
Yeah.
What if I don't know that line?
The
Can
start
I...
of it.
Well, you immediately thought of it when you saw Slipstream. So it's here. I'll handle this one. I got to do everything. And I went her a slipstream between the quiet ducks and me. And it ran real crack and a knit and a fell crack.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we can talk a little about the history. We do have to move on about the history of why this was unfinished. This was the 60s. There were more restrictive codes placed on movie production at the time, and there were very strict rules about going to bed, and everyone had to go to bed at a very specific time. And
well, it was almost 10 p.m.
You'd say, the movie's not done, and they'd say, I don't care. They shut it off without even saving.
At 9:59, what they said was, guys, we told you at 9:55 that you had 3 more minutes to finish the movie. It's now been 4. Is the movie done or not? And they said no. And they said, tough cookies.
That's
and they
that's
say, let me just save. And they say, wouldn't even save. Shut it off.
That's good context. I appreciate that. That's sort of what we try to do with the show, is find out interesting context.
Did they pull the plug like out of the wall, or did they like pull a big switch that turned everything off? That's the only thing I don't know.
Back then, it was a set of switches that you would pull down to shut off the entire town.
Wow.
At 10 o'clock at bedtime.
The grid.
Save power.
Yeah.
The grid. They took out the whole grid. Yeah.
Next is Amblin.
Okay.
Well,
this is very similar to Griffin's name, where there is an apostrophe at the end, and it is kind of a jaunty version of of a verb.
Yes, my parents named me after a casual action. Yeah,
yes.
hardly Griffin. You're hardly Griffin.
I'm hardly.
So Amblin, I mean, I believe I got to look at the timeline. I can't remember if this is based on a mishearing of Steve Martin's Ramblin' Man bit, or if he misunderstood the name of the movie. But either way, they're inextricably linked for all eternity.
Yeah. Entangled.
If I remember correctly, Steve Martin tried to license this for his stand-up routine. This was sort of the Rosetta Stone for him, seeing the Amblin short, and the licensing fee was too high, so he had to sort of come up with a legal workaround.
Put an R on there.
Yeah.
And Spielberg rumbled him, though. He knew what he was doing.
That's what I say. When Steve Martin's up there, I'm like,
he knows exactly what he's doing up there.
He acts like it's exactly like, oh, what he's just, doing to me. Oh, I'm just doing this. But it's like, no, you thought about this.
Yeah.
He planned it. I honestly believe he planned most of what he's doing up there.
Mm-hmm. He's playing like 15-dimensional chess, that guy.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. You know what I say about Steve Martin? He's the real deal. That guy's the genuine deal.
Very bad at the banjo. Sucks at the banjo. No one will tell him.
Can't play the fucking thing. Only it doesn't even sound like a banjo when he does it.
No. Marcus Welby directed one episode of Marcus Welby, M.D. The episode was called The Daredevil Gesture.
Right.
Can I answer with a gesture?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And that's then, actually better.
And then maybe David can describe it.
Okay, let's see. All right, you got a fist. All right. Right, you're revving.
He's revving, yeah.
That's it. That was the whole gesture. Just revving up.
Well, it's not called The Daredevil Gestures. I was going to just do that's one gesture.
Yeah. It looks like he's revving up a toilet to get ready for... It's one of these toilets that like has a handle on the side that you let's just like really like get it going before you do a huge flush.
Right, you got to really pump it up.
This is for like when you dropped your book in the toilet. You were reading on the toilet. You dropped the book. It went through your legs. You can't pull it out.
It's over.
So you have to actually rev up the toilet engine and get it fully juiced so that you can do an enormous flush and get the book through.
The toilet's one way. Once something drops in the toilet, it's not coming out. It's going down.
Right.
We have to go through these faster. Night Gallery. He directed two episodes. Night Gallery, Night of the Museum, Art Gallery, Museum, Art Comes to Life, Kiss, Beautiful Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the game.
The name of the game, baseball.
Baseball. The psychiatrist.
Like I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Two of stroke.
The psychiatrist. I would just see right. this. I'd go, oh boy, Freud would have a field day with this.
Here's what I say to this. No analyze this.
He did two episodes, so one could be analyze this and one could be analyze that, you know?
No, this kinda... one is, that's those are already different movies.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
This
sorry.
One's called, no, this one is in response to those. Mm. And it's called, no analyze this!
Mm-hmm.
Columbo, yogurt show.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. The Columbo episode is called Murder by the Book.
Mm.
So it's like, maybe there's something to do with like what book it is.
Shark that, book.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone's found with a book embedded in their
well,
head.
What book that's, was it? Yeah. Sharp Objects by Gillian Must Flynn?
Oh, that's
right.
good.
Sharpest
that's
book good. There is, right.
Yeah, right. The fucking right, blade, that one. Yeah,
so sharp. Owen Marshall, counselor at law.
The episode's called Eulogy for a Wide Receiver. Very sad.
So maybe it's like, go long for the last time. You know, it's something like that.
Rip.
Go long for the last time.
Is that anything? Like to go long for
it's
the last
It's your show.
Time.
I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm fine with you doing that. If it was my show, I wouldn't like, I would not allow that because I you don't like it. Like, I don't get it. And I don't.
How would you not allow? Would you just, you'd start yelling or what would happen?
Buddy, you actually don't want to find out.
I just wonder if you have like a button that can like, you know, kind of like turn the microphone off or something.
Yeah, brother, a button, all right. The freaking easy button. That's how easy.
That was easy.
And how close you are.
Hollywood Handbook.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now, but it has been, we've had a few years
they
in
make
the wilderness.
Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We struggled in that time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mac Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt. And I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And mm-hmm. this could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this ad before we move forward. What happened to Mac and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mac Weldon ads? Mac and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to.
Yeah, it was. It was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mac and Weldon wasn't not a reason that we came to that place with this company, and so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered. And that's how they're dead, was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mac Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code THEBOYS. That's M-A-C-K. WELDON.com, promo code the boys.
Let's face it, folks, shopping for loved ones can be difficult, but Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy, and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions? Yeah, they apply.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. And the other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Duel.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a huge one.
This is like his first this real proper.
Yes, yeah. We're finally really getting somewhere. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Hamilton.
Right. So maybe for this one it's like on guard.
It's the duel.
He said Hamilton.
Car versus truck. So. You already said Hamilton. Okay.
Yeah, this is Hamilton.
Okay, sorry.
This is Hamilton. Hamilton. Hamilton.
Ablisander Hambleybone. My name is Ablisander Hambleybone. Have you seen that footage of that one? The show where he forgot the name. They had to do it for the rest of the fucking show. They got right up to the edge. It was in previews, but it's just like they did the whole thing. All those words to remember, you know. It's like,
yes.
I read the book. And I'm writing. And then he goes, my name is. And they point to him. And as you see, he's scared. Ablisander Hambleybone.
And then they tried to bail him out and improvise new lines. And the guy would come in with a big book and say, all right, your honorary name change is to Alexander Hamilton. But he refused.
No, he was like, no, we're not.
I refuse to sign the name change book
because I didn't make a mistake. I won't sign it.
I have to say, like, I agree with you guys that it's a lot of words to memorize, and they were early in previews.
They say that one a lot in that show.
Right.
So if you're going to forget one.
It's an easy mistake to make. I am surprised that that's the performance they put up on Disney Plus.
I thought that was weird.
That was odd to me because I think it was the only time he did that.
Yes.
But I mean, he must have been involved in the decision making. He really throughout the show, as Hayes said, kept doubling and tripling down on like they'd be like, sir, you know, your official name change. And he'd be like, there's no need for a name change. Ba, 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 ba. Bump skitter, dump skitter, oops, coming it up.
It's just scatting. Right. There's so much of that one. Next, something evil. The devil.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Wow. Okay, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm a member of the media.
President Cheeto Man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is our dynamic too, is that David is a journalist, but I'm like a little more of a comedian.
You're allowed to editorialize all the stuff David has to just
Griffin can push boundaries. Like he's on the op-ed section of Blank Check, and I'm on the news section.
Right.
If there's like a sort of a wall between us.
He's got a tab open with libel laws, you know? And I'm just saying whatever comes to mind.
The next one's a TV movie and it's called Savage, so I would just go Savage. Griffin David Ratchet.
Savage.
Slay Queen.
For Savage and Something Evil, we should point out both of those, the V is stylized as the down button on an elevator. Mm. Like the movie
Devil.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess inspired by these, where you can actually press the movie.
I didn't
and go down.
I didn't realize that was the name of that movie. I always thought it was Da Downell.
Da Downell. Da Downell Trump.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like something from The Twisted Mind of M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sugarland Express.
Okay. Well, this is a nickname Kevin uses for a certain part of the female anatomy. I just would rather get away from it entirely. It's like so vile how often he brings it up, and it's just like not. I'd like to move on unless you guys want to dig in and sort of talk to Kevin about it.
No, I think it's better even if we cut this part out.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we should. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be good for me to
move
that online. Yeah.
Sugarland Express reminds me of the candy train, which is another euphemism that Kevin uses.
Yeah.
But it's also what how they if you're like listening to Jack FM, they don't say for the song Crazy Train, they don't say crazy anymore. Because it's ableist, and they say candy now instead. So it says we're going off
candy
the rails.
Train?
There, we're going off the rails on the candy train.
Do they say that when they're introducing the song, or do they also talk over
the song?
Right.
They talk over, the DJ talks over that part of the song and says candy when they're about to say crazy.
I mean, is it just me, or has PC culture gone too far?
This is it. This is where I draw the line.
You know, honestly,
I think candy worship is the issue. Yeah, it's just too much candy worship.
That's the actual issue. Hey, do you know what the number one drug in America is? Sugar.
Candy.
Sugar candy.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar, you know,
candy is
PC
the
culture stands
drug.
For Pez candy culture.
Yeah, that's the actual issue we should be talking about. Yes. Is this Pez candy culture that has run amok?
Jaws. Eat candy with.
What is this, Moonraker?
Because that's the guy from that. Sure,
he's the guy. Big, right. Big teeth. Mm.
Dawes,
big, shiny teeth.
Dawes, like Dawes Butler, voice of Scooby-Doo.
Or the band, like
Yeah,
Dawes?
I'm thinking of the band Dawes.
Oh. Right, right.
I was trying to bring it back to Scoob.
Yeah, right. Well, you're actually reminding me of Scooby Don't.
Okay, well, no, I earned that, yeah.
I think we did right by Jaws, such a huge movie. We talked about the band Dawes. And
I'm glad we never
guy.
Have to do it on our show now.
That's
right?
Great.
Yeah. We finally tackled Jaws.
Dawes Butler.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
This one's tough because it's a long title.
It's a really long title.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
Insanely long.
I mean, that's why the movie was such a flop, right? Too long. Yeah. Title too long.
Yeah. Title's too long. Going to sleep. Right. Good night.
People would walk up to the box office. Can I get a ticket to Close Encounter?
You know what?
Forget it. I'm out of here. Yeah.
This is why our episodes end up being so long as well.
These titles.
Because very often we're dealing with a title like this where we're just like, what, we got to get through like
these long,
what, six
titles.
Different words here?
Unwieldy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Confessions.
That's how you knew he was, look, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but he was riding a little high on, you know, the success of Jaws, you know, and Dawes and all that. And he's like, we're going to do a six word title. Yeah.
Right. He was high on his shit, taking the Sugarland Express every day. Mm. Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything.
But he was. It was, I mean, we can talk about this, right? Because this is another part of our show is we sometimes sort of talk about what the director was going through in their life at that
really
point in time. Sometimes it like helps inform the way you talk about the movie. And I think it was very known that after the success of Jaws, Spielberg had a couple years there where he was dealing with a crippling pussy addiction, right? That's
okay.
Wow.
He was just going absolutely loco on trim.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this is a big part of your show, and I've listened to a handful of
trim
episodes,
talk.
And
Yeah.
And look, and like we could get into like, you know, like addiction is one thing. I think if it's managed correctly,
yes,
through a kind of a micro dosing approach, which is what I take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a way that it can actually like kind of enrich your thinking on these things. Mm-hmm. If you just kind of like walk near it or whatever, just like don't ever like get too much.
Well, look, obviously, I mean, Spielberg, you know, is still years off from winning Oscars. And that's the story of this time period is like, you know, later in the 90s, he's able to manage it enough that like one lick gets him there. But at this period, when you're in the 70s and 80s, it's like he's spelling out the whole alphabet.
He grew into, you know, he never obviously got off the stuff, but he became a pretty high functioning munchaholic. And you know, sometimes that does work for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big inspiration. Like all of these movies ultimately are about the same thing, which is getting
it wet. Every director's telling the same story, you know, just from different angles, basically.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 1941. 1941.
Nine and four is 13. 13 and one is 14. 14 and one is 15.
Wow.
And six. Uh-huh. So I would just say six.
They boil it down.
Sure.
Six.
Yeah, let's just reduce it.
Griffin, you were about to do a voice.
Numerology.
I was thinking of a voice. I was thinking maybe I'll play a person from 1941. I'll be like, okay. Back Holy in shit. My day. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
oh wait, so in 1941 he's complaining.
He's
about
already
his day?
Very old,
right?
No,
okay. So he's
my
about,
idea
like,
was
everyone was old then.
Back then, everyone was really old,
right?
My idea was this guy is so old that he's telling us current day. Let me tell you about 1941. And you flash
okay? So,
back.
If he's here right now, we can just get him. We don't need you. You know what I mean?
That's a great point. I'm sort of out. Yeah. I'm making myself obsolete.
Why don't we just get that? We can get whoever we want. Right.
Yeah.
You know? So like provide, like figure out how you can provide value.
Sure. Don't do characters. Yeah. Yeah. Because then
we'll just get that guy.
You're inviting.
You're working yourself out of a job.
Right. I'm suggesting a replacement. Okay. Good note.
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I'm exhausted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ugh. This is longer than the freaking Close Encounters one.
Hey.
So the Lost Ark, we all know what he's talking about.
Yeah. It's a little box that when you open it up, your face tends to melt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's still
very
in the
much
thick of it, as it were.
Absolutely. And I mean thick. I mean, it's 1984. Things are thick back then. 81, sorry. Yeah. Temple
and
of
this
Doom,
is like
jumping ahead.
It was 1941, Griffin. That's what we were talking about.
And it's like 81. Like, what are we thinking? We hear like raiding, 1981.
Panty raids.
Yeah.
This is what we were doing back then. This is
no,
like, it
look,
was a different time.
I mean, this title is a cry for help. You know, he wants to get caught. This was his I love you, daddy. He's like, someone please.
Yeah. He's painting a target on his back.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yep. And he presented to the world and we didn't listen. We weren't ready to hear.
Begging us to step in. Yeah. And someone, anyone, please do something to help him.
At least give me a dental dam to sort of start weaning myself off the thing. You
don't
know?
Hear about those much anymore.
Ever. You never hear about them anymore.
You used to hear
You guys are
about
talking to the wrong people.
Whatever happened to... Okay, yeah. That might be right.
Get out of your bubble a little bit, you know?
It's fascinating that they've slipped out of the conversation, considering that we're all pretty much wearing dental dams all the time
outside.
Now. We've become a dental dam species. We're just not using them for the right thing.
Damn, that's heavy, man. That shit's got me fucked up.
Look, and this is another thing we do on the show. Sometimes we have to talk about the state of the world, you know?
Sure.
We're talking about what the director was going through at the time, and we're talking about...
Shut up. That just fucked me up, though. Okay, doggy.
This is my point.
No,
you gotta,
right.
you gotta think about things from different perspectives and be like, what is this movie saying to us today that people wouldn't have gotten out of it at the time? And the answer is, we're living in a dental dam world. We're just not using it for the right fucking thing.
Yeah, this is all sort of predicted by Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right. I mean, puss eating should be going up in record numbers these days.
And I don't want to stay in this area for too long.
No.
Which is not what Steven Spielberg said.
Yeah. Hayes, let me tap your head and let you know that it's time to come up from this one.
But, I mean, I guess we have E.T. the extraterrestrial. E.T. I know something that he wants to E.T. Twilight Zone. the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we can't really joke about this one just because of the Landis thing. It's just a little bit, you know what I'm saying? It's
sure
a little raw. The fact that Max Landis visited set is just, it feels like that is something.
No, it's still kind of fresh for all
we
of us.
We don't want to make
and
light of.
We're not the kind of show that likes to touch a hot stove. We
don't like to do that.
We get to let that stove get ice cold.
Yeah, and it's just like that's maybe one of his earliest examples of being on a set, realizing probably, like, oh, I could use this kind of position to manipulate other people.
I mean, and the fact that he was born 2 years after that movie came out doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about right now.
Well, that's why I say he visited the set. He was in them testes, you know? He was brewing around. Yeah, that was the first one.
He was in there loving Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that he actually swam up to the head of the freaking weenus and was peeking out and looking around at what was going on. So, you know, that's what Superman would have done, you know, but he was in there with all that stuff going on.
Yeah, but we really shouldn't talk.
I heard actually that during that set visit, he wrote 4 movies that day.
Yeah.
And that they all sucked shit.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. This makes me think that he had a bad experience with his addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. This feels like a case of someone.
We're on our way out of the woods on this one. You have to hit rock bottom. Yeah.
Right. This feels like he Steven might have been buying a lot of Valtrex around this time, if you know what I'm saying, you know? Temple
Strokes
of Doom.
Genius. Shut up. Strokes of Genius. What's this?
TV miniseries documentary.
This is some of his best work. This is really good.
Yeah.
It's your
uncredited
favorite
introductory segment.
Talk about this, David.
I mean, it's just like, you know, when you think about it, once in a while, someone just has a stroke of genius.
Wow.
And he wanted to talk about that. And, you know, people told him he couldn't. But by this point, he was ready to do it. He was ready to uncredited direct the introductory segments. So, I don't know. Something to talk about.
What it makes me think is that following this sort of Temple of Doom experience where he probably went cold turkey and having gotten like whether he got stuck or he fucked up his neck or something and decided that like this was not a good situation, is he rediscovered stroke in it.
Yeah.
Right.
And that there was sort of this light bulb that went off of like, this is actually a genius way to kind of wean myself off of my former addiction.
It's a little self-congratulatory to call yourself a genius just for thinking, oh, maybe I should slam some ham, you know?
Mm.
Amazing stories. That's what our show should be called.
That sounds like our show, yeah.
I would just say Hollywood Handbook, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Just say Hollywood Handbook.
Just say Hollywood Handbook. That's what my show is called. That one.
The color purple.
Okay.
That's the color of Kevin's Nurple when I'm done with it.
Oh, man.
And that's just true. And that's just true.
Yeah.
Amazing stories. You forgot you did that already.
Mm.
Empire of the Sun. Empire of the Sun.
Empire of the Sun.
Yeah. Griffin, you want to take this one?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying.
Okay. Now this is Griffin's moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think this Griffin's been telling me quietly. He's been waiting to talk Empire of the Sun.
I'm
going to
bail you out, Griffin, because I'm working on something. And I think this is the beginning of him actually getting into a whole new territory. He obviously is obsessed with Poontang for, you know, a solid 10, 15 years here. Mm-hmm. But Empire of the Sun, I believe, is a play on Vampire of the Buns. And it's someone who is sucking on them buns. And it is him discovering like, wow, I've really been limiting myself and existing in this, you know, creating these boundaries
that are totally
false.
And just working on the cheek, nothing like gross.
No,
just,
it's not
like
gross.
Basically giving the cheek a big like hickey, big suction action on the cheek part.
Leaving a big love bite on that cheek.
Sucking some tush.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
tuck in on the outside. They actually can leave a lot of their clothing on for it.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I mean, this one's just sad because this is like denial, right? This is him saying, like, I'm done.
He's last, right.
I'm out.
Yeah, we know it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never again. One.
The, most of
one.
The movie is Indiana Jones looking at the camera and saying, Steve, like, you need help. You gotta pay attention to me.
And then in the next movie, he completely went the other way. And it was like, always. I will always be doing this.
Right. Acceptance.
Right. This acceptance. It's huge. The biggest step of all. Yes.
The visionary. This is a video that he did. The segment was called Par for the Course. This was, of course, a dwarf on golf that he directed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Hook.
Mm-hmm. Hook.
I mean, he was hooked.
He was, right? Well, yeah. I mean, he was trying to get his fishing movie going, I don't know, 30 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we talk about, Griffin. Blank checks.
Yes.
You know, these directors have something that they want to get out.
Yeah. Right. One failed project leads to the invention of another. The reason he took on the Dorf video is because his big disruptive idea was, let's get Dorf in a boat. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's been on the course long enough. Let's get him in a boat.
I think we're going to need a smaller boat.
Right. A tiny boat. And Conway was like, you don't understand. We cut holes. My legs go through the holes. We can't do it in a boat. I'll get wet, wrinkly legs. And George was trying so hard.
Sink. I mean, the boat would sink.
That's another major issue. That's that was sort of the second biggest issue behind his...
The wrinkly legs.
Wrinkly legs.
Yeah, I got, you know, these actors, they're so like me first. They're thinking about their legs getting wrinkled. And then it's like, but also the camera person would drown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Hook sort of comes out of the failed attempt to get Dorf on a boat, you know?
The next movie, Jurassic Park.
That's Randall Park's dad.
Jurass is sick. I'd like to park my mouth there.
But we should be clear, still on the outside, right? No, no gross stuff.
Not even really that close to the middle part. Just... No. Firmly on the cheek. It's just skin. It's like every other part
with a nice layer of denim in between.
Less gross than the mouth, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth is disgusting. The big round cheek is very normal and clean.
Yeah, no, that's like just a big soft meaty piece of flesh. Mm-hmm. Like that's actually very sensual, whereas the mouth is a petri dish of germs. Why we should all have dental dams on
constantly.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's Fist.
Okay.
Should have been about Schindler beating people's ass, right? Like, the movie's good. It's a good movie. Would anyone... And he actually learned this lesson and ultimately made a similar, like with
eventually.
Munich, he actually
did. Yeah.
It was basically a make good on Schindler's List, which should have been Schindler's Fist, and it should have been Oscar Schindler just punching the shit out of everyone.
And Neeson learned this eventually as well. Like 20 years later, Neeson's just going to foreign countries and punching everybody with his giant monster fist.
You look at these guys' careers, and it's sort of a mea culpa from this point forward.
Right. Schindler's List was a big missed opportunity for both of them. It kind of haunts them for the rest of their careers that they whiffed on that one.
They went and had drinks after they rapped, and it was just like, shouldn't I have been punching and kicking these guys?
Yeah. We landed there, like, a day late.
Yeah, I missed, man. I whiffed.
You could also call it Schindler's Whiff, you know?
You could.
Steven Spielberg's director's chair, video game.
Not
a movie.
But David's long threatened to do a video game podcast. He kind of wants to do his own How Did This Get Played, you know?
That's okay. Normally I would say that, like, there isn't room in the market for another show that's How Did This Get Played, but in this case I would say that there is.
Yeah. We're just more trying to recreate.
I'd say that David can just do it.
Recreate the model of, like, casual resentment between two podcast hosts, you know?
Yes.
That's the thing. It's less the format that we're interested in.
Just do it.
Yeah.
David, yes. You can actually use the title so good.
Bet on yourself and against Nick Weiger.
Yeah.
That's why that's the phrase.
Just do the video game podcast now, David.
Just do it.
Okay.
You talk a lot of all big right. talk. Get in the director's chair if you really want to do it.
The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Okay. So this is where we started our miniseries, Griff.
Yeah, this is now
care.
Everything.
I don't care about that.
Because now Spielberg's got the Oscar. That's right. And, you know, for the director's chair or something like that.
Right. He's founded DreamWorks at this point, which was like sort of part of our thesis that he had the blank check because he literally was writing.
His own studio.
He was the bank, you know?
Right.
He could issue the checks to himself.
Okay. This is not what we want to talk about. We want to say The Lost World under those slacks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is where I would like to park my mouth.
Yes, it was.
That's what we do now.
It was not lost for long once Steven showed up. He was kind of a Christopher Columbus of that land, you know?
Amistad in bed today.
Yeah.
I'm a stud, yeah.
Amistad in bed. Amistad.
Oh, I was thinking Amistad in bed instead of going on this trip, or should have anyway.
Oh, he's
like those, like how they say namaste in bed.
Namaste in
bed. Yeah.
Amistad is also actually, no offense, Hayes, almost as good as yours.
Okay, so I'm going to jump ahead to Munich, where I do have a good one, where it's that, of course, is an anagram for I munch.
I just want to clarify.
I just need to bail myself out really fast, and now we could go back to Saving Private Ryan, and now we can do something with that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, Saving Ryan's Privates.
Sure. Great.
Right.
Shaving.
At this point, right? Styles have changed. He would be shaving
Ryan's Privates.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't want to step into the Temple of Doom anymore. You know,
it'd be like one of your Manscaped commercials you do on your show.
No, oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah.
The Unfinished Journey. That's just like when you can't, when you.
They had to go to bed.
She don't bust.
Yeah. It's like a loud noise outside, and it just kind of like messes up her headspace.
And that's it. That's the last one. That's the last movie.
That's called it quits.
One. Wow. Yeah. So we did the entire thing.
Yeah.
We did it so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really, it was smarter than how you do it. And it was, of course, funny. And what do we think about this?
We didn't skimp on context, which is the thing I thought we were going to have to do. And we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like that's what surprised me the most.
We actually got more information. Yeah. It was more useful. And it just got better and better. Like what I am afraid of with your show is that there'd be some diminishing returns and people would get kind of tired as they're doing it. Or that, you know, that there'd be these long pauses after the movie title where people are all kind of looking at each other like, does anyone have anything and should we have done this?
Right.
But this, like, this was, you know, there was just such a cool, like, rhythm to
it. I feel two emotions primarily. I feel embarrassment that, you know, we have been so...
Six years
just really on the wrong road, you know, entirely, you know, without realizing that we should turn back and cut our losses. And I also feel just absolute resentment towards the people who have listened to the show up until this point and enabled us.
It is ultimately always their fault.
Yeah, true. Right.
I hope they're listening.
They letting us think this was okay, you know?
Why would they letting us think this was okay?
That's my main question.
That shit pissed me off, man. And I honestly felt bad for you guys at a certain point where I was like, why are they fucking with these guys?
Why? It feels like a troll now, right? I mean...
Dude, it's bullying, plain and simple. All those people that are paying money into your Patreon just to make fun of you.
Yeah.
That's fucking goof.
That's not what Be Best is about. It's really disappointing to
see
that kind of
why our fan base is called the Goof Troop. I didn't put that together, that that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
That the whole thing is a goof on the two of you. Yeah. Dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, they're goofing on you.
They're goofing on us.
Yeah. They're goofing on you. Right.
So check out Blank Check if you want to be a part of this community that is making fun of these two men. Check out David Sims' video game podcast called My Name Is Actually Already a Video Game. And go to the museum. Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan discuss pink pineapples, the boys give a virtual tour of the grocery store, and the flagrant ones are talking all things basketball. Check out the podcast and videos at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.